with the ringing of that bell. All you need to do to become a student in the Warren County Radio Bible School is get your Bible, turn up your radio, pull up a chair, and follow with us as we study old Sunday school lessons. We're looking at a Sunday school lesson today that was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday of July 15th, 1923. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson about Peter being one of the great men of the New Testament. But as we've said before, when we study the Bible, we're studying about Jesus. And in studying Peter, we're studying about Jesus as well, because these men had their lives wrapped up in him, and the Bible is really the story of Jesus. We're looking at Matthew chapter 16, where Peter made that great confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And we've been talking about what it means to receive Jesus as a Christ. Looking back at Elam's Sunday school notes, we see that to receive Jesus as the Christ is to receive him as our prophet, as a sacrifice, as our advocate and mediator and priest. And in just a moment, we'll continue with this, showing how that when we receive Jesus as the Christ, we receive him as the King, and we're governed entirely by his laws. Now, we'll get to that in just a moment. While you're getting your Bible and turning to Matthew chapter 16, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, what does it mean to accept Jesus as the King? It means that we're going to recognize that he is the authority, and we are going to be governed by his laws. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation." Do not expect to receive eternal salvation if you are not ready to accept him as King and obey him. The apostles and disciples grew into the firm conviction of the confession that Peter made here when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Those in the boat with him the night in which he walked upon the water had said, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God," Matthew 14:33. And after the discourse on the bread of life, Peter said, "And we have believed and know that Thou art the Holy One of God," John 6 and verse 69. And so we read in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17, after Peter made this great confession, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Simon Bar-Jona, Jesus called Peter. You see, Peter had just called Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And so Jesus called Peter Simon Bar-Jona. When you see that little prefix bar in front of a name in the Bible, it means the son of. This is Simon, the son of Jonah, or John 1:24, where he's called a son of John. Appreciating and confessing this great truth brought Peter and with him all who believe into the rich blessings of God. For Jesus owns and confesses such persons before God and before the angels. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 33, we read, Every one therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoso shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And in Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, And I say unto you, every one who shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me in the presence of men shall be denied in the presence of the angels of God. Jesus said to Peter, Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, because flesh and blood could not make such a revelation. People knew by flesh and blood that Jesus was the son of Mary and a descendant of Abraham, as Matthew and Luke both show by the genealogies that they give us in their testimonies. But they could not know by flesh and blood that he was the Son of God. God must make this revelation unto them. So he revealed it unto Mary, as we read in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 26 and 35, to Joseph in Matthew 1 verses 18 through 21, to John the Baptist, to Peter, and to others when he sent down his Spirit upon Jesus, and that voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then all the miracles of Jesus were done in the presence of his disciples as the testimony of God to the fact that he was the Son of God, and to reveal to them and to the world that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John 20, verses 30 and 31 tells us that these things are written so that we might so believe. The apostles were Christ witnesses to the world, and guided by the Spirit of God, they made this revelation to the world. Hence, no man speaking in the Spirit of God saith Jesus is anathema, and no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. So Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, we continue to read, And I also say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. This declaration of Jesus has called forth a great controversy. Jesus does not say he would build his church on Peter, but says, Thou art Petros. Now that, in the Greek word, the word Jesus used, is a word that means a small stone. Thou, Peter, art a small stone. And upon this Petra, well, that is a bedrock. And so Jesus says, Thou, Peter, art a small stone. But upon this bedrock I will build my church. We build houses of stone, but we lay the foundation upon a rock. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke of that, saying, Everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. All Christians are living stones in that they are building stones, but they're not a foundation stone in this spiritual house. While Jesus, under the figure of a chief cornerstone and under other figures, he is the rock, the foundation stone. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, we read, Unto whom coming a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but with God elect, precious. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, because it is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. For you therefore that believe, he is the preciousness. But for such as disbelieve, the stone which the builder rejected, the same was made head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. In Romans chapter 9, verses 30 through 33, we read, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles who followed not after righteousness attained unto righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, following after a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works." And then here Paul writes, "They stumbled at the stone of stumbling, even as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame." And then we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 4, "All did drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." And so we know who the stone was upon which the church was built, the foundation stone. It was not the small stone Peter, but the great stone Christ. And so, in this figure, Peter is not the foundation. He is a doorkeeper. Look what it's going to say in verse 19 about him. "I'll give to thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven." He's the one that opens and closes the door. There's a builder, Jesus. There is a foundation, a solid rock. Jesus is the Christ. And there is a spiritual house, the church. There is a doorkeeper. Well, that's Peter. "And the gates of the unseen world is a mighty power opposing this work. But they would not prevent Christ from building his church." Now, what is the foundation? The solid rock? It is the central truth of the whole Bible. The glorious fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Destroy this truth, and all the prophecies, promises, and purposes of God to redeem the race are absolutely false. This fact is the fulfillment of every promise and prophecy and the consummation of every purpose of God to save men from sin and the grave. Peter could not be in the same figure at the same time as both the rock foundation and the doorkeeper. But aside from all doubtful verbal criticism, this matter is infallibly settled by what the apostles understood Jesus to mean. They never once taught that he meant Peter was the foundation, and Peter never once claimed it. In his preaching on Pentecost, and ever afterward, Peter held up Jesus, the Son of God, made both the Lord and Christ, as the one item of faith and the foundation of Christ's church. Peter says in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And Isaiah said in Isaiah 28:16, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation." No one can doubt this means Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior, the Son of God. And so Peter declares it again and again. Then the apostles were eyewitnesses of the life, death, and resurrection, and had to be in order to be apostles, according to Acts chapter 1, 15 through 26, and Acts 26, 16 and 17. Hence they could have no successors, inasmuch as there is no successor to an eyewitness. The gates of the city represent its power, and the gates of Hades represent the power of the grave or of the unseen world.